Rabbi Binyamin Yosef Singer.
Right, good morning. I was told that today on Fridays you have to focus on the Shabbos meal and you need bite-sized pieces, right? As opposed to one longer thing, which is far harder to explain to the family sitting around the Shabbos table. So we'll start off with the hors d'oeuvres and progress through the meal. This Shabbos, we're starting the Sefer Devarim. Interesting, if you look in Rashi, you'll notice that each Sefer, Rashi starts off with something which is L'chvoidon Shal Yisroel. And look in Bereishis, we find Rashi says Bereishis, Beis Reishis, and one is Bishvil Yisroel, Shnikro Reishis. And beginning of Shemois, Eile Shemois B'nei Yisroel, Lohidir Chiboson, says Rashi. In Vayikra we have Loshen Chibor, Rashi explains, Vayikra El Moshe. In Bamidbar, Rashi explains why they're counting them again, Mitoch Chibosom Lefono of Moinoson Kol Shor. And in Sefer Devarim, Rashi brings that it's divrei toichocha, but nevertheless, his kiron beremez mipnei kavod on shel Yisrael. So Rashi is roish shom shel Yisrael. She tells Rashi, each time his angle is always to try and give kavod to the yidden. Look in the psukim as well. You can find the way Rashi explains it. It comes out that even the places which they mentioned beremez, what had happened, there's some sort of mitigation for what they had done. Bamidbar, the Nevuch, the people in the desert, they were despairing, they were desperate. What do you expect from them? Right? Bo'arava, Mosuf, by the Yamsuf, they were trapped with the Midstream, so again. And when Korach rebelled, it was his fault. Each place, it wasn't just Beremez, but there's some sort of excuse for the Jewish people, what they were doing as well. Devarim is always the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, so you have, not surprisingly, in Parashas Devarim, you have the Chet HaMeragdim mentioned clearly. We have the word Eicha as well, at the beginning of the Sedra. And Eile, the first word of the Sefer, the first word of the parasha, is actually Gematria Eicha as well. So there are several connections between Devarim and Tisha B'Av. We've got some unfinished business from the earlier books, because Rashi, the Baal HaTorim, brings earlier on that in Sefer Shemois, in Tetzaveh, we would have expected to find Moshe, Rabbi Ben's name in Tetzaveh, Vayidav Hashem Moshe Lema, Vato Tetzaveh, it's in Israel, but it's not mentioned. The reason being, because Moshe said, in Kisisa Mecheinino, so therefore his name was misspelled. But if you look in Sefer Devarim, there are several sedras that don't have Moshe Rabbeinu's name mentioned. Eke for E, Shoftim, Kisetzin, it's of him, there's no Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is it only Tetzaveh that we say that Moshe Rabbeinu's name was rubbed out? So there's two answers to that. One answer is, the whole Sefer starts off with Eila Devarim Asher Diber Moshe. So the whole thing is from Moshe. So you can't say it's been rubbed out because that's the introduction to the whole Sefer. And the other answer is, you can only talk about Mechia, meaning that in a place where it would be appropriate and you would expect it to find Moshe's name, but it's missing. So in Terumah, you find repeatedly Moshe's name. And all the parishes in Shmois and Vayikra, you find Moshe Rabbeinu's name repeatedly mentioned. Coming to Devarim, it wasn't necessary. It's not really, you can't say it's missed out from Akev and Rei and Shoftim and Nitzavim, because it wasn't so relevant to have Moshe's name, so we can't speak about Moshe's name being rubbed out. Now, we're still on the hors d'oeuvres, by the way, so these are little bits. Eile ha-Devarim, every word in the Torah, no vowels, you can read it how you like. Eile ha-Daborim. So Daborim, a Dabor, Echov Lador, remember the Rashi? One leader, maybe a spokesman, Dabor Echov Lador. Lamed Vov, Eile, Gematria, 36. The Gemara in Sukkah says there's 36 tzaddikim who are mekabel pnei shchin every single day. Right? And this is Eile HaDaborim. There's 36 tzaddikim who are the Daborim, the leaders. If you look in Sefer Devarim, you have also two leaders of the Jewish people, because you have Moshe at the beginning and Yeshua at the end. So Eile HaDaborim, these are the two leaders of the Yidden. Medrash Rabbah, just finishing off your d'oeuvres now. Medrash Rabbah, Eile ha-Devarim, Eile ha-Devarim. The bees. Bees. Why bees? Because if you look at a bee, all the honey the bee collects goes to the owner. The bee has no selfish interest at all. Just works totally selflessly for the owner. In a similar way, all the Torah mitzvahs that we do should be done purely l'shem shamayim, for Hashem, not thinking what will happen to us and we'll get a bracha or ilam habo for it. It's done for Hashem, like the bee. So Eile ha-Devarim. So a few of that, that's the hors d'oeuvres. Now, coming now onto the main course. Oh, the soup, right, yeah, okay, the soup, yeah. Well, no, yeah, the soup, I'll have the soup first, okay. So the whole concept of Devarim, the Aruch Haim HaKadosh brings that Devarim is not like the first four Sephorim. The first four Sephorim, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, were dictated to Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu just, it went through Moshe. It wasn't Moshe's thoughts. These were Hashem's thoughts, which is why the Machloikas, if there is a Seid of Mugdam and Mu'ucha B'Torah, because if it comes from the Avishta, maybe we can't understand the reason that two parashas are put together. Whereas Devarim, which comes from Moshe himself, according to Aruch Haim, Moshe wasn't told to say Devarim. He said it in Mipi Atzmoi. Tosfos explains Beruch HaKodesh, but it still wasn't a tzivoy from Hashem to say Sefer Devarim. It came Mipi Atzmoi. Therefore, since it came through a human mind already, we can understand far better in Devarim. Devarim is a sefer which was aimed at the Dor Shenichnasu La'aretz, not the people who were living in Shemayim with Mon surrounded by Anani Kavod. These are people who are going to go to Eretz Yisrael. They have to start working, living a more natural form of existence. So Moshe Rabbeinu therefore is filtering it, if you like, through his mind, and the Zohar brings that Devarim is like Torah Sheba'al Peh, or at least it's the source of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, because this came, was initiated by a human being, it didn't come from Hashem, although it's with Ruach HaKodesh, and Shekhinah Medaberes Mitoch Gronosh on Moshe, but nevertheless this wasn't directly Moshe being dictated to by Hashem. All the Nevuah of later Doros, the whole of the Tanakh, is based on Devarim, because the Devarim is the intermediary between the stage when Hashem was speaking through Moshe to the stage when Moshe is speaking by himself. So this is how Moshe is serving as a Novi and leading way the possibility for future Nevuah, and Dinim Drabonon and Torah Sheba'al Peh Bichlal. So a very important book. You would actually think that Devarim is on a lower level if it didn't come directly from Hashem, but the fact that it's able to come into Moshe's mind and be passed on to the people actually raises it up higher. So Devarim is actually a higher sefer. Rambam, in his Hakdom on the Torah, writes that the whole Torah is written by a narrator. There is a Shlishi Hamadaber. So if you look in the first four Sforim, you find, Vaidaber Hashem El Moshe Lema. But who's saying that? It can't be Moshe saying that, because if Moshe was the narrator, it would say Vaidaber Hashem Eli, as it says in Devarim. If it was Hashem saying it, it would say V'dibarati al Moshe. So there's a third person. There's a Shlishi Hamadaber, there's a narrator. Who is the narrator in the first four Sforim? So the narrator is the Eibishter himself. And what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, that he spoke to Moshe, but all the names of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Elokim, and so on, that's not Hashem Be'etzem, that's not Atzmos, that's not Hashem in essence. So the narrator of the first four Sforim is not Moshe, and it's not the Hashem the creator, Hashem the rewarding, punishing God, who's Lefi Ma'asai Ani Nikra. This is from Atzmos alone, right? So narrator. We come on to Sefer Devarim. This is now Moshe Rabbeinu. He becomes the narrator. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying what happens. And the whole concept of Devarim is Hasbara, to explain, which explains at the beginning of the Sefer, we have it says, Be'eva ha'yaradin be'eretz moyov, hoyil Moshe be'eretz ha'torah hazois, right? Lema. So what does that mean? What does it mean? Moshe explained the Torah. He's been explaining the Torah for 40 years. What changed here? So Chazal said that Be'eretz HaTorah means not that he explained it to them, which has been going on the whole time. It means he translated it into Shivim Loshon, 70 languages, which is a very surprising thing, considering that you would imagine that most of the Jewish people probably did not speak Chinese or Japanese or Greek or whatever it might be, and yet they have to stand there listening to Moshe Rabbeinu explain the Torah in different languages. So we're going to see the purpose of that, what was achieved by that as well. Later on, we find Moshe gave them a tzivui when they came to Eretz Yisrael, the Chosavto al Havonim is called Yivei HaTorah Azos Be'erhete, the same Lashon, that the Torah had to be written on the stones which they would take out of the yard and they would put up in Eretz Yisrael. And the purpose of that was to show the Umos Olam, the nations of the world, shall see what the Torah is about. And therefore it's written in Shivim Loshon again. So it's a machlokes of interesting debate, exactly what Moshe said to them. Was he translating the Torah? Was he explaining it? What went on the stones? But the Pashat Pshat would seem to be that actually this was an explanation of the Torah in the different languages, not merely writing down the Lashon HaKodesh with different letters, but actually explaining it to them in their languages. So a Chinaman would come along and see written in Chinese what the Torah was about, so he could understand it as well. So from there it comes out that Sai Bichsav and Sai Baal Peh, the concept of translation is good. It's a necessary thing, the people, and it had to happen. And Moshe had a tzivui from Hashem, and he himself passed on to the Yidden that they should do the same and even write it down as well. Problem is that if we look later on, you can find that translation is looked at very negatively. In Megillah Sofrim, one of the Masechtas Katanas, there's a story of Talmai HaMelech, listen, with five Zakenim, not 70, with five Zakenim. The first one is with five. And he tried to get them to translate the Torah into Yevonis. That's the first story. And so it says over there in Megillah Sofrim, it says, the day was as kosher Yisrael, just like Yom Shenasa was for Eagle, just like the day they made the Eagle. After that, the next brisa there, it says, Shuv Maisa, there was another story with Shivim, or Shivim Shtayim, the 70. So it seems to be two separate stories. So it's looked at as a very bad thing. The translation there was very negative, so it seems, which is hard to understand. Why is it so bad? And if it is bad, why is it as bad as making the Eagle? That's quite a severe thing to say, isn't it, right? So even if they couldn't translate it accurately, and there will be a misunderstanding later, but it's as bad as Avodah Zarah, that's hard to say. So you could maybe think, maybe there's something wrong with Yevonis. Maybe it was the language of Talmai. Talmai was a Greek speaker, right? He was the king in Egypt, but he was a... So maybe putting it into Greek is the problem. But that's really hard to say, because Greek obviously must have been included in the Shivim Loshon that Moshe had already used. There's already an existing translation in Greek. And if you look at the word Chazal used, the wording was the Torah could not be translated. It doesn't seem to be placing the stress on the failure of the language it's going into, but rather the Torah itself can't be translated. Even more than that, Yevonis, the Greek language, has a special status. That it's actually kosher, the halacha is it's kosher, although we can't do it today, to write a Sefer Torah in Greek, in Yevonis. Rambam says we've lost the ancient Greek language with its beauty and its purity. We don't have it, so we can't do that anymore. But that's the basic halacha. And the halacha is that a Sefer written in Yevonis, in Greek, has the same din as a Sefer written in Loshon HaKodesh. It's Metami Yadayim. So there's a certain Kedusha in Greek which the other languages don't have. Yerushalmi says that the only language you can translate the Torah into is Greek. So what was wrong? Why is it Yom? It's kosher. Yom Shenasa Bo So Egel. What was so terrible that Talmai instructed the Zakenim to make a translation of the Torah? Right? It's interesting. Now, the same, to understand that, if you remember in the Gemara Shabbos, we have a famous account of a debate which took place with Hillel and Shammai. And perhaps uniquely, Hillel lost the argument. And Hillel was sitting in front of Shammai, Daf Yud Zayin, Shabbos, Hillel was sitting in front of Shammai, Ketalmid, right? He was sitting, Kofuf, Ketalmid, Lifnei Rabboi, and this was a Yom Kosher, Yom Shenasa, Baso Egel. This was so hard for the Yidden, it was just like the day they made the Egel. Why? What's so bad? Everybody wins an argument, you lose an argument, we don't say it's so bad like Avodah Zarah. So Rashi explains, because Hillel was Nossi the Anderson. Because he was a Nossi, and he was a humble person as well. Okay, Nossi we understand. The Nossi should be the ultimate authority. The Nossi trumps the Av Beis Din, Shammai is the Av Beis Din, and Hillel's a Nossi. So of course Hillel should be winning the argument. But why is the fact he was an Onov? Why does that enhance the tragedy? Why is Rashi saying it was Yoim Kosher, Kasiyas or Egil? Because he was an Onov? That makes it easier to understand how Hillel could do it, not harder. But if you think about it, the reason that why is Aloch always like Beis Hillel? The reason is because Noichim va'aluvim hoyu, because they were calm, they were insulted, and they never responded. They were humble people. The fact that somebody is a Nasi is a reason to paskin like him. The fact that somebody is an Onov is another reason to paskin like him. So there's two reasons why the tragedy was very, very great on that day. And it's difficult to realize, but still, why is it like Yom Shenasa Bo Egel? What does the Egel have to do with it? So we've got two places with the same expression being used, and it seems inappropriate in both the translation into Greek for Talmai and the story with Hillel. So let's look at the wording that the Chazal chose. Very accurate. They didn't say Ka'asiyah So Egel. You'd expect, what's the Chet Egel actually? The fact they did Avodah Zarah, right? So the day they made the Egel, which day was that? It wasn't Yud Zayin Tammuz. No, it was Tes Zayin Tammuz. Because Aaron HaKohen said to them, Chag LaShem Mochor. They finished the Egel, however it was made, and then they wanted to start off straight away with Avodah Zarah. Aaron was sure that Moshe was coming back, and Aaron thought of this delaying tactic. He says to them, Chag LaShem Mochor, we'll do it tomorrow. And he was sure, says Rashi, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back, and tomorrow will turn into a Yom Tov for Hashem. That's what he was sure. So the day of the making of the Egel was not the day of Avodah Zarah. It's Takan Aveira, look in Svona, he says, and you mustn't make an Avodah Zorah, even if you're not using it. But still, it's not to be compared with Avodah Zorah. The day of Asiyas HaEgel is Tes Zayin Tammuz, and the problem on Tes Zayin Tammuz wasn't Avodah Zorah, the problem was it was a Hachana for the next day. So if you look at the two places where Chazal using that Lashon, you can see that in the first case, with the translation into Greek, now even if it can't be translated accurately, and actually Chazal had to change the translation, an accurate word-by-word translation into a different language would be open to misunderstanding, which is why all the Zakenim changed, they all had Baruch HaKodesh, the same thought, to change the same thing, because they realized that if they would translate word by word translation into Greek, what would happen would be the Greeks would misunderstand it and it would come out the opposite of the true Kavana. So for example, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the Greeks would be looking at this, the idol worshipping Greeks, and they'll say, oh look, there's Shtei Rashuyos. One of them is called Reishis, and one of them is called Elokim, and they would say Bereishis Bara Elokim. Right? So to avoid that happening, they changed the word order and they changed it to make it Elokim Bara Bereishis. So it's no longer an accurate word-for-word translation. And that's done to avoid the confusion later on, right? Similar to that, I'm not going through all this. There's a debate how many things they changed. 10, 15, 13, 18 things, whatever they did. Na'aseh Adam. Again, if they would have translated literally Na'aseh Adam, which is plural, the Greeks are going to say, oh, there must be more than one. One Rishus. There must be two. There must be Avodah Zorahs. So therefore, they changed it to E'aseh Adam. And that's the reason for the majority of the alterations that they made. So the purpose of changing it was to avoid problems later. So the Lashon Chazal are using, Kiyoyim Shenaseh Boisro Egel, they're looking at the day, the time. This time is possibly going to be dangerous because of what's going to happen tomorrow. It doesn't matter so much if the translation isn't accurate. The problem will be, what will Talmai HaMelech or another Greek do tomorrow when he's learning the Torah according to his Goyish HaSeichel? He'll come up to the conclusion that there's various Rishuyos, different Avodah Zorahs. So that's a dangerous time. Right, go back to the story now with Hillel and Shammai. So the problem with Hillel and Shammai is not that Hillel lost the argument. The problem is that there's a cloud that Beis Shammai, Mokim Beis Hillel, in the Mishnah. So if we're paskening today like Shammai, the problem is not today, that doesn't matter. The problem is what will happen tomorrow and the next day. People will start thinking, oh, we have to be mischashe with Shammai, and maybe the halacha today is going to be like Shammai as well. So the danger is what's going to happen tomorrow. That's the problem. So that's why they use that lashon. They're not comparing it to Avodah Zorah, which wouldn't be appropriate. They're saying it's today, there's a danger which could result from translating the Torah into Greek, or from Hillel losing the argument to Shammai. Okay? Kiyoyim Shenaseh Boso Egel. And that's also the reason they're not talking about Avodah Zorah, and it's done in a negative way, it's a passive way, the day when this happens. So that's the explanation. However, so what we've explained is that the reason that these things are compared is because there's a danger which can come out later. But that's a bit superficial. And everything in the Torah has if things are connected in the Torah, there must be an inner content which links them together as well. So to understand that, you've got to realize, what is Chet HaEgel? So most of the Mefarshim explain that Chet HaEgel has actually nothing to do with Avodah Zorah. The Chet HaEgel was to replace Moshe. The people said, Ki zem Moshe ho'ish asher halonu me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yadanu mehoyalo. We don't know what happened to Moshe. No, so why do you need another Moshe? They thought he was lost, he was nefter cholila, they didn't know what happened. Moshe needs replacing. So the Yidden saw that the Kodesh Baruch Hu chose to take them out of Mitzrayim, not directly himself. He used a mamutza, he used a human being to come to be the goyel. There's a person, a human being comes along, and with the Abish's help, he takes the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. So they understood that that's necessary, and they wanted to replace Moshe. Now, why the Egel? Because they wanted this concept of a mamutza is very important. There's a mitzvah to believe in Hashem. The mitzvah Hamonas Elokus, right? Mitzvah Lahamin. You look in Rambam, you find different lashonos used. There's a mitzvah Lahamin, Shiyashon Elokad. You've got to believe there is a God. But that doesn't mean you understand or you feel anything. Elsewhere you'll find, say, for a mitzvah, you find a different lashon used, Leida, to know. Now, how can I know about Hashem? Hashem is infinite and I'm finite. I can't know anything about Hashem, really, other than what he does. The only way for me to feel Avo Yira, to feel something, to understand about Hashem, is there has to be some connection that I can relate to directly. The Kuzari actually says they were looking for an Oivanevad Murgash, that's the Russian he uses. Something they could feel, they could see. Having Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe was called Ish Elokim. The Shekhinah was speaking through Moshe. So the people were Onohi Ameh, Bein Hashem Aveinechem. So the people had an example, a human being in front of them, they could see, they could hear what he was saying, and this connected them to Hashem. This elevated them. So Moshe's absence was felt very strongly. So they said, we need something to replace Moshe. And they got the idea from Matan Torah. Because by Matan Torah, the Medrash says, the Yidden saw the Merkava. And they saw the Shekhinah on the Merkava, and on the Merkava there were Malachim. And one of the Malachim is the Pnei Shor, had a face like an ox, however you want to understand that. So they wanted to take the Pnei Shor, Shebe Merkava, says the Medrash, and bring this down to Olam Hazeh in the form of an ox, the Shor, the Egel which they made. And this would be their interface, the way they would connect to Hashem. That's what they wanted. It wasn't Avodah Zarah, actually. That wasn't their Kavanah at all. Right, so that's how it started off. Unfortunately, once they started off in that direction, we'll see, it actually did turn into Avodah Zarah, and they got it right. But initially, it wasn't like that. And there was at the beginning, there was a potential, what Aaron said, Chag L'Hashem Mochor. It wasn't a rebellion against Hashem. Let's say that Moshe Rabbeinu would have come down the mountain when he did, and the Yidden hadn't got up early. If they'd have been sleeping into a normal time. So Rashi brings a sotten zirazom. They were excited and enthusiastic. The Yitzhara was so powerful to do Avodah Zarah. They all got up early in the morning. But if they'd have got up later, what would have happened? Moshe Rabbeinu would come down the mountain, and then they hadn't done Avodah Zarah yet, and this is only intended to be replacement. Then they could have burnt straight away the eagle. There would have been no Avodah Zarah, and there would have been amazing Kiddush Hashem. Everybody would understand, you're not allowed to make an eagle. You can't make a mamutz unless Hashem tells you to. So let's go back to the beginning with the translation. It's not wrong to translate the Torah. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded, there was a mitzvah from Hashem to translate the Torah, and it comes through Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's together with the original Lashon HaKodesh, as it would have been on the stones, I'm sure. And when Moshe is explaining it to them, he's got the Sefer Torah there as well. So it's not cut off from the Mokar, from Hashem. So this will not be going period in Avodah Zarah, that translation when it comes from Hashem. When, however, it comes from Talmai HaMelech, you've got a problem. Because the intention of Talmai certainly was not L'Shem Shemaim, and he was probably going to look at the differences in the translations and to use it as a way of undermining Yiddishkeit and Armun and Hashem and the emes of the Torah. So this already let itself be open to be a possibility for major problems later on, because it wasn't wrong to translate. It's very similar. It's a similar concept. It's not wrong to have a memutza. It's right to have Moshe Rabbeinu in between us and Hashem, because Hashem sent him. But you can't make up your own intermediaries. Hashem said, for example, in the Mishkan, that the Shekhinah had to speak to Moshe, Me'al HaKaparis Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. So they had to make a physical thing. Again, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said they had to take gold, and they had to take wood, they had to make the Oren and the Keruvim, and then the Shekhinah would speak there. But Kodesh Baruch Hu said to do it. If they would have made Keruvim without the Tzivoy, or somewhere else, then it becomes a big Aveir, it's Avodah Zarah. So once it's not a tzivui, even the kavanah is L'Shem Shamayim, this concept of a memutza comes out in a very dangerous way. So that's what went wrong with the eagle, and that's what could have gone wrong with the translation into Greek. And actually, however, it didn't work out that way. Although there was a possibility it would be very bad, at the end of the day, it didn't work out that way. And it was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, because they were all mechaven to the same translation. Achdus Hashem was misparasim. Everybody found out there's only one God. And it worked out that even Loshon Yavon, even the Greek language was elevated. And it attained a status similar in a way to Loshon HaKodesh. Right? So it didn't work out to be bad. Hillel and Shammai, the problem with Hillel and Shammai is, you remember the Medrash, it says Kodesh Baruch Hu, before creating the world, before creating Adam, consulted the Malachim. So it seems there's a Malach of Emes, and a Malach of Chesed, a Malach of Shalom. So each Malach, each Midah, had its own opinion where the man should be created. And we find that Chesed said Yibore, man should be created, because he will do Chesed. And Din said, Al Yibore, man should not be created. So what did the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? Kodesh Baruch Hu threw down Emes, and then Shalom and Chesed overruled the din. So according to din, the world should not be created. If you look, The Torah starts off with Bereishis Bara Elokim, which is Midas HaDin, and later on we have B'yom Asos Hashem Elokim. We've got Din and Rachamim together. The world can't exist on pure Din. It will be destroyed. So this is what happened here. If the halacha would be like Shammai, Shammai is very strict. Why do Beis Shammai always rule the Chumrah? Nearly always. Why are they always choosing that Svara? You can't say it's more logical. If it would be purely random, there would be 50%, right? The reason that they're choosing the Svara of, which is always Machmir, because they're looking at the world in a very negative way. The world shouldn't really be created. And if it is here already, we've got to distance the world. We've got to overcome it. We've got to fight the world, destroy, etc. That's their whole approach. The approach of Hillel is Faked. The world should be created. This is Chesed. And when the world is here, our job is to bring down Kedusha to the world. Make a brach on something. Change the world. Bring the Shekhinah down into this world. That's our task. So the danger of Shammai winning out is that their approach to Yiddishkeit could have changed. Not only would they be paskening like Shammai, but this approach is the wrong approach, basically. And nowadays, the halacha has got to be like Hillel. So you see, in all these three cases, the concept, that Bedakos at least, that you're trying to make a memutzah, translating the Torah, or almost setting the world up as a sort of idol, if you like, which needs to be overcome and destroyed. And that's a similarity to the ego. Now, I heard... So basically, Hillel's the source, right? And Shammai is the source of... But Beis Hillel are also all following the Chesed, the line of Chesed from Hillel. And Beis Shammai, the line of... So then the Shammas, you look at Hagoma, Tatani, but the Shorish of then the Shammas came from Chesed, which is why in their Seichel they're always looking for a Sephora, which will lead you to a result of Chesed. Something's mutter, we can elevate it, we can use it, L'shem Shammaim. But Shammai always going to be strict because that's the type of character, the type of Neshama they have. Right? So this... We're up to the upcoming course now. I saw a beautiful story with the Chofetz Chaim. He saw a wagon driver once who was traveling around. Travel was more difficult in those days. And he said to the wagon driver, he said, when you go to Aishishok, I want you to go to Yosef Zundel Hutner, the Rav there, and I want you to get a bracha for me, said the Chofetz Chaim. He was himself a Kohen, but he asked for a bracha. So the driver, the wagon driver, the taxi driver, you call him today, I suppose, never came back to the Chofetz Chaim. So he said, later on, he bumped into him, and he said, you didn't go, you never got a bracha. He said, I did, but I can't tell you what he said. He says, why not? Because he didn't give you a bracha, he gave you a klala instead. I refuse to repeat it. So the Chofetz Chaim said, I insist, you have to tell me what the Rav said. So he said, okay. He said, you should go barefoot and carry stones on your heart. I'm sorry, I didn't want to say that. It was a klala. I feel terrible. So the Chofetz Chaim was very happy. And he said, even the first one of those would have been enough. He was giving him a bracha. The Chofetz Chaim was a kohen. He was giving him a bracha. He should go barefoot. We should be zoicha to the Beis HaMikdash. And he should be a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. And they went barefoot, as you know, right? Didn't wear shoes. And he should, in fact, not just be a kohen hedgel. He should be a kohen gadol and wear the choysh and the stones on his chest. So very often, a bracha comes in a way which seems to be faket. And that's the biggest bracha comes out in a way which seems to be totally reversed. The biggest simcha, the Psik Torah Basi says, Ein simcha bo ela b'tisha b'av. Not only will Tisha B'av become a Yom Tov, it will be the biggest Yom Tov. And I wanted to mention today, the reason I wanted specifically to speak today is because today is the Arizal's Yortzeit. And the Arizal mentions, we were speaking before, about Chag Lashem Mochor, the idea of turning things around, as I just in the story just mentioned to you. The Chag Lashem Mochor says the Arizal, it's the words of a tzaddik. And anything a tzaddik says will be mekuyim. So even though Aaron meant the Pashtos, the next day will be Chag Lashem, because Moshe would have come back, or so he was hoping, but that still will happen. And Shiva Osav HaTamuz will change into a Chag Lashem. It will become a great Yom Tov. What's the Yom Tov about? What are we celebrating? We're celebrating the Teshuvah of the Yidden, and changing the Avodah Zorah of the Egel into a mitzvah. Everything, all the dark is changed, right? Everything is changed. And this is even by Tisha B'Av, not only would the Simcha be great on Tisha B'Av, it would be the greatest Simcha of the whole year, because we're elevating everything completely. There's a beautiful story, it's the only story in our Sefer Minhagim about Tisha B'Av. And Rav Yisrael from Ruzhin, the original Tzaddik, walked into his shul, not realizing that the Hasidim were going to play a trick on everybody coming in the shul. As we all know, the Hasidim always tried to minimize the sadness and the mourning. Right? Mishenichnas of mematim besimcha, poshup shat is we decrease simcha. But there's a taich on that as well. Mematim, we decrease all the bad things besimcha through simcha. So it should be in a simcha, which is mutter, but maybe they went a bit over the top, and there was a skylight in the Beis HaMedrash. And some of the younger light went up on the roof, and they made a lasso. And they let it down, and they decided whoever walks into Beis HaMedrash, they're going to lift him up to the ceiling. So break through the sadness of Tisha B'Av. Much to their horror, Rabbi Yisrael, the Rebbe, walks in. The original tzaddik walks into the Beis HaMedrash. And before they realize what happens, they've lifted him up to the ceiling with the lasso. And they're terrified. What have they done? So they let him down slowly. And he uses the opportunity to pray to the Eibishter. He says, Ribono shel Olam, your kinder do not want this Yom Tov. Please take it away from them. Right. Turning every single thing, all the sadness becomes changed into happiness. Now, the Arizal specifically paves the way for the Geula. It was well known that Baal Shem Tov had this vision. He sees the Neshama of Mashiach in Shemaim, and he says to him, Mosai Ka'osi Mar, when you're coming? And Mashiach says to him, when your teachings, your wellsprings of teaching will spread abroad. And it's well known that Baal Shem Tov, the whole movement, understanding of Hasidus, is based very much on the Arizal. So Arizal started off this whole process of revealing the Neshama of the Torah. And the Arizal said, as reported by Chaim Vital, 2 years he was his Talmud. 2 years at the end of the Arizal's short life. For 38 years, his Talmud, Chaim Vital, just all the Kisei Arizal we have from those 2 years. And he wrote down that the Arizal had said, Mitzvah legalois zois hachochma. Now up to then, it was concealed and limited, and the secrets of the Torah were only restricted to very, very great tzaddikim. And from that point on, it becomes a mitzvah. Mitzvah legalois zois hachochma. And this is further taken down and brought down and explained through Hasidus in the passing of the years. And I'd like to share with you an amazing, well, I find this amazing, very typical of the Arizal's approach to things. We know that the Avos, the name Avos, where does it come from? Why are they called Avos? Because, says the Ari, that they are Gilgulim of the Av Rishon, the first father of humanity, Adam Rishon. And each one of the Avos is a different aspect, a different darga of the Neshama of Adam Rishon. This is the dessert, by the way. Right? Each one of them is a different aspect of the Neshama of Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon's sin, the Chet Rishon, the Chet Hadas, was a very major thing, as you can see from the fact that it brought death to humanity and terrible tragedy to the whole world. And we're still suffering because of it. So it included elements of Gilui Aroyos, Avodah Zarah, and Shvichas Domim. All the worst Averas, the fact that he was rebelling against Hashem, the emes is, any Avera is really Avodah Zarah. Because when a person does an Avera, what they're really saying is, I know better than the Eibishter. Hashem said don't, and I want to do it, so I'm setting myself up as an authority against Hashem. Right? So that's, every Avera is really Avodah Zarah. Certainly this first chait was. Well, Shvichas Domim, he brought death into the world. And Gilui Aroyos, he mixed up Toiv and Ra. Today we don't have pure, absolutely good. Everything's mixed up. Even a person means the Shem Shemaim, there's an element of Gaiva. And everything we're doing is all mixed up. The good and the bad is mixed up. Our job is to try and undo that and to separate the good from the bad. That's our job of the Olam HaTikun now. So Avraham Avinu, what was his job? He was going around smashing up idols. You remember the story when he broke up his father's Avodah Zarah, right? Avraham Avinu is smashing up the Avodah Zarah. And he's mefarsim that there's a God in the world. Vayikra sham b'shem Hashem keil olam. Right? He proclaims Hashem is there's a God of the world. Right? He gives people food and insists that they bench. So Avraham Avinu is mesaken that part of the chait of Adam Arishon, which affected the nefesh of Adam, the idea of avodah zarah. Yitzchak, well, the most famous element, the most famous aspect of Yitzchak's life would be the akedah, prepared to give his life up, a mitzvah for Hashem. So that fixes the ruach of Adam, where Adam brought death into the world, and he rectified that. He made a tikkun on that. The concept of tikkun is one of the Arizal's big chidushim. So he fixes the ruach. And Yaakov Avinu comes along, and he fixes the neshama of Adam. And the idea of the Gilui Aroyos, because Adam mixed up good and bad, So Yaakov Avinu extricates Rachel and Leah from the powers of evil, and he is able to purify all the tumah which Adam had brought into the world. The 130 years the Ari brings, that Adam was Parish Min HaIsha. And the 130 years, he was moiled a lot of tumah in the world. So Yaakov had to suffer for 130 years in Mitzrayim. Ma'at v'ro'im, he says. Why do you say ma'at v'ro'im? Because Ra specifically refers to Chet HaYudua. And that was Yaakov Avinu was making a tikkun for Adam HaRishon. And after which point, Vayichi Yaakov, he comes to life. He gets the neshama of Adam HaRishon. So each person in their life in the world is actually bringing us closer and closer and closer to the time when all the sadness will be changed into simcha. Here of Yomeinu, right? Shabbos Chazoin, we have a beautiful story. I think we've got 2 minutes left. Yeah, Shabbos Chazoin, a beautiful story, which comes from the Levi Yitzchak, the B'ditcher Rebbe. A famous story, a very powerful story, and I think it's a mitzvah to publicize this. And this story you can tell certainly to even the smallest children. I generally teach 4 or 5 year olds. I teach reception age. And they love this story. It's their favorite story from the whole year. So if you've got any children or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, tell them this story. And you can listen yourself as well. A father once bought new clothes for his son. And the boy takes the clothes. And, well, at the passing of time, they get wrecked, torn, dirty. And the father very kindly buys his son more new clothes. You can make it more dramatic. You can have him playing football as well if you want, or falling in puddles and etc. But I'll leave that up to you. And then the second time the same thing happens again. The third time the father doesn't have any new clothes made. And he does, but he doesn't give it to the child. He gets the suit made for his son and he locks it in the cupboard. And the boy is very impatient to receive the new clothing and he starts nudging his father. Tati, Tati, give me the clothes. He says, no, you're not having it because I know exactly what you'll do. Same thing the first 2 times. I'm waiting to see how you behave. And occasionally he would open the cupboard door to show his son the clothes. And he so much wanted to have the new garment that he actually did teshuvah and he became calm and well behaved and trustworthy. And his father saw what a changed character he was, he gave it to him. That's the moshel. And the nimshel is quite obvious. Twice we had the Beis HaMikdash and twice we had the Chorban, which was our fault. And the third time, the Abishah didn't yet give us the Beis HaMikdash. But it's ready. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu has locked it in the cupboard, in Shemayim. Occasionally, we get a glimpse of the Beis HaMikdash. And your Neshama Lamaila, your Neshama, realize your main Neshama is not here with you. Your Neshama is above. Famous Gemara in Megillah talks about Daniel having a vision. And the people with him didn't see anything, but they were very scared. And they ran away, they hid. So ask the Gemara a question, so if they didn't see, what were they scared of? And the answer is, they're mazel. The mazel means neshama above. The mazel saw and therefore they were scared. So we consciously don't see the Beis HaMikdash, but our neshama above certainly does. And the site of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Binyan Nitzchei, Binyan Adead, which will never be destroyed, is such a powerful thing. This impacts on us that this gives us the motivation to do teshuva, that we should deserve to have the Beis HaMikdash in Hei of Yomeinu. Amen. Amen. Thank you.